You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Well, welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. We have a very special guest today, Jody Anderson, coming at us from Ottawa, Canada, the nation's capital. Jody, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here today.
So, Jody, you come from the First Nations Finance Authority. But before we get into what you do there, because it's so very cool, tell us about yourself and who you are and where you're from.
Yeah, thanks, Darian. Ani Buju, Jody Anderson, Indigenous, Kuchiching Ndojiba, Ottawa Ninda, Makwa Nindodem. In my Ojibwe language, I said I'm Anishinaabe Kwe, I'm an Ojibwe woman from Kuchiching First Nation, which is located in Treaty 3 territory, northwestern Ontario. So really proud to be a member of that First Nation and a member of that community, and grew up in northwestern Ontario. So I like to integrate advocacy for the North wherever I go. And I live, work, and play in the unceded, unsurrendered territory of the Algonquin people, also known as Ottawa. I've been here now for 23 years, and I have an incredible husband and two incredible sons.
It's amazing. How old are your boys?
My boys are, well, Jacob, my oldest, will be 16 next month.
Yes.
And I have a younger one. He's 5 years old and will be six in October. So the boys are 10 years apart, but we tell people we raised our own babysitter first, and each one gets to, you know, get a chance at being the baby, and they're extremely close. We're very fortunate for that, and good boys.
It's amazing. I have a 16-year-old turning 17 in October, and then a 4.5-year-old, because it's very clear, he's 4.5, turns 5 in November. And it's fun seeing them interact. And then in between there are these like 9 and 10-year-old fierce little ladies who are just awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But the boys, it's pretty cool to see that special bond between them too.
It really is. And, you know, they have a bond that is very different than they have with their parents. And, you know, I thought maybe with the older one, with Jacob, it might wear off in the teenage years, but he'll drop anything he's doing, you know, if his younger brother calls, and they just lean on each other for so much. They push each other's buttons really well, too.
Course.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful bond that we're very fortunate to see.
It's very cool. So. Yeah. Those that don't know, First Nations Finance Authority, tell us what that authority does in this great country of ours.
Sure. We are a not-for-profit statutory institution that operates under a federal piece of legislation called the First Nations Fiscal Management Act. We are an optional piece of legislation, which was really important to the founders of this piece of legislation, if you will, in the institution, so that it was unlike the Indian Act, which is really imposed on First Nation communities. So this federal piece of legislation is optional for communities to say, you know what, I want to be a part of this institution. I want to become a member. I choose to be a part of this regime. And really, it's a sectoral governance piece. And one of the most, or if not the most successful sectoral governance pieces that has existed in Canada to date, which I'm really, you know, proud to say. And we were meant to help First Nations access capital, affordable capital, because prior to the FNFA coming on board, when First Nation communities wanted to access capital, they had to either go and visit the chartered banks or a private lender, which often came at extraordinary costs or much higher rates than other levels of government would have seen. So as an example, you know, the city of Ottawa can access capital to build a light rail system through a financing authority and access capital at rates that are significantly lower than if you or I were to walk into a bank and ask for $10 or $20 million. So we work directly with Chief and Council as a government. We do not work with individual businesses. We just work with Chief and Council and the First Nation communities to help them in achieving their infrastructure financing or their economic and social development goals.
It's incredible. And right across the country, correct?
And right across the country. And one of the things that people don't know about us is that we raise our money through capital markets. So we don't get our money from the government of Canada. We don't get our money from the provincial governments. We actually have a commercial paper program in place right now. And we can borrow up to $400 million on a monthly basis. And then as that starts to fill up, we will go to the bond market and issue a debenture on behalf of our members.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And in this world, again, I love that this is such a great educational opportunity. There's other opportunities. There's NACA offices. Tell us kind of who else is kind of that you're peers with or friends with and kind of working alongside.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, everybody kind of has their own space, and in some spaces we share, and there's enough space for, you know, a number of different players to come in. And really what we're trying to do is close the infrastructure gap and provide economic development opportunities for communities in our space. And then you have the NACAs of the world who are instrumental in working with businesses and entrepreneurs who want to start their own businesses and create their own sense of economy. And the communities rely very heavily on that. So they're a key player, but they do something different than what the FNFA does. And then you have, you know, traditional lending programs like the banks and capital. So it really depends on what the community is trying to achieve and the rates and the terms that they're that are available to them and that they're comfortable with. So from our perspective, you know, we want to be the lender of choice for First Nation governments, and we can offer rates that are significantly less than, you know, other lenders tend to have or financiers tend to have. But the great thing is that there's options now that are available to the nations where maybe 10 or 15 years ago that didn't exist. So they were forced to borrow from ABC company that was charging rates that were like 10, 11%. And that's really difficult for some of our communities who don't necessarily have a cash flow. And, you know, as a business owner yourself, you know how important cash flow is.
Yeah.
And so what we try and do is create flexibility and or certainty so that communities know what their payments are going to be, and they know that they can amortize loans out to 30 years or, you know, budget planning and cash flow planning is really important. So that's what we try and provide to the community, along with capacity development in terms of strengthening their financial systems and strengthening their governance systems, so that we're not just in and out, that we can raise the capacity and the internal knowledge of the community from an Indigenous lens. And that's really important.
It's incredible. And then there's also like Ravens Capital, who's out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really neat. Again, funding a lot of tech
companies. We need
more
funds like that. That's exactly it. So they're doing real, you know, social impact kind of financing and working with some really great success stories there. So, you know, Cheekbone Beauty, wow, you know, Jen Harper and her team have been able to achieve is just outstanding. But it's because she's had support from so many incredible investors who believe in what she's doing, and they want to see success, and they want to be a part of reconciliation and moving the dial, you know, breaking out from the status quo. It's time to start thinking outside of the box and being creative and innovative. And that's exciting.
Really cool. Okay, so I've heard some great stories out of like Saskatchewan about what communities are doing with like owning like these three communities that own multiple families of companies. And maybe tell me some stories that are like, and you got to know this about some of these communities that have been really thriving and multiplying and investing in other places and then seeing them go on and help others.
Absolutely. You know, I started out working in the province of Ontario, and as I mentioned earlier, being from Ontario, I have a real vested interest in just my heart is in Ontario, but I've seen extraordinary projects right across this country. And, you know, if somebody was to ask me, you know, what are some of your top favorite projects?
And I'm not asking who's your favorite child. This is just kind of like some highlights. This is,
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I, you know, one of the first communities I worked with, they built this elders complex, which was really extraordinary. They're located on an island, which came with its own logistical challenges, but they were able to create this 12-unit elders home or complex, if you will, so that their elders could come home, back home to the community, because prior to that, housing just wasn't available. And now they are able to build this extraordinary, beautiful building overlooking the lake and right next door to the community center so that the elders could come home. It accommodated the needs that, you know, they needed to see, and they have a sense of community. They're back on their land. They're back in their territory. They're back in their community in a safe place that they absolutely love, with other elders surrounded, with community surrounding them. And, you know, if they want to go and be a part or take part in community cultural activities, it's right next door. And I just thought that was an extraordinary thing. And having the ability to talk to some of the new tenants was just, you know, so impactful and so meaningful. And it's stories like that where communities can bring home elders, youth, or people that wanted to be there and be able to provide safe homes and safe housing. Wow. So that's extraordinary. And, you know, I have another community who's on the edge of Georgian Bay, and they were able to build a wind farm.
Wow.
And that transformed the community from a state of poverty to, you know, now they're managing wealth and setting up trust funds and able to provide for the community and build the infrastructure and provide the jobs and programs that that community, you know, really needs or had wanted for so many years. And to see that community transform from a state of poverty to now managing wealth is, you know, extraordinary. So having the autonomy, giving that autonomy back, or being a part of their journey, because it's really the communities that's, they're doing the heavy lifting. We just get to play a very small part in that journey, which we're very grateful for. But it's very transformative. And Clearwater, you know, in the East Coast, that was one that was widely publicized throughout the media. And again, that's another opportunity for, you know, a number of communities to take part in that has transformed and created another revenue stream for those communities to, you know, to have autonomy over and do what they want. But it's just, and that was a big power move. That was a 50% stake of the largest seafood company in the world. So that sent a powerful message, and we're getting more, you know, transaction and deals like that where communities are coming together, nations are coming together to say, hey, we want to be key players in this economy, and now we have the means to do it. So it's very exciting to see what's happening in Indian country.
It's amazing. And how do you get the word out? Like, what does that look like to like promote what you do, market what you do, connect with more communities?
Well, you know, it's often said, and we still, we issued our first debenture in 2014, and here we are in 2023, and we still get, you know, some people saying, you guys are like one of the best kept secrets around, which tells me we need to do some more marketing and tell our story a little bit more. We're a small but mighty organization. We only have 20 employees to our name, but last year we hired a communications manager who is really taking us in a new direction in terms of helping to promote and tell our story. Mm-hmm. And really we say, and we have it plastered in our office that says every loan has a story. And it's very true. And that story is important to us. And what that impact to the community is. And that's really, you know, a great reminder of why we're doing what we're doing. And so we've created videos of the projects that we've been able to be a part of We now have our own podcast. We do marketing. We do a lot of visiting into communities and conferences that will speak to the audience that we really need to reach out to. But marketing has changed so much that, you know, everything is digital now, and there's so many different ways to engage with people. So we're constantly having to think outside of the box and try and be different and keep up with our audience. So, you know, we started small just by going to conferences, and now we have a communications and marketing strategy that will help us get our name and our brand out there.
That's amazing. And maybe some of the efforts that you're doing, because conferences are great, in person, really important, but what other kind of methods or models are you trying?
Well, so we've done, like I said, we have podcasts. We still go to conferences and speak. Yeah. We get a lot of invitations to come either at conferences, Indigenous and non, because there's a lot of corporate partners who want to engage, who want to know more about who we are and what we do. So we try and go where we can, you know, if it makes sense strategically. We're going to be launching a new newsletter for our members to communicate in terms of some of the projects that we're working on. Where are we? Did you know this? Did you know that? We have social media platforms that we are very active in, and we've set up plans so that, you know, you have your Wisdom Wednesdays, or talk about a member every day, or culture. And our team has really identified themes in order to help. And we find a lot of pickup through LinkedIn. I'll say that for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're always open to doing more. We have a great board of directors who are incredible advocates for us and speak on our behalf wherever they go. So that helps us out tremendously. We kind of call that the moccasin telegraph. We look at our influencers from our communities to determine who they need to talk to, referrals, and so on and so forth.
It's amazing.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop, and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And speaking of, tell me about your podcast. I want to hear about it and what's on it. What can people expect? Those are listening to a podcast right now, love listening to other podcasts. What can they expect when they go over to your show?
Yeah, you know what? We embarked on this journey, this podcast journey last year, and we just finished season one.
Wow.
And
that's,
we're actually
by the way,
already
that's
recording.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. We did, I believe it was 6 or 7 episodes on season one. And it turned out to be so successful that we decided to do a season two. So we're just in the midst of recording all of our sessions for season two, which will be launched in the fall. It's called Let's Bond.
Nice.
And it's available through, you know, wherever you get your podcast platforms from. So I encourage you to go in and have a listen. And that can range from anywhere where we're talking about a certain project that we're working on just to, you know, create more buzz about it or information and knowledge transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, we've had some incredible guests on our podcast where we can pick their brain and ask them about their community and their project or some of the challenges and successes and hear, you know, the true stories. And hopefully our other listeners can learn or engage or reach out. And it's one thing that, you know, I mentioned earlier, it's different being on this side of the mic as opposed to interviewing others. But I've had the privilege of just being able to interview so many incredible and interesting people and people that I've known for years, but I just learn so much about when you get to dig into and, you know, to have a one-on-one chat. And it's I love learning. I love hearing people's stories and what motivates them and what drives them. So you can learn about our CEO, Ernie Daniels, and, you know, how he got to where he is today and his incredible journey and the history of the FNFA and where we started and who was involved and, you know, what was our vision then and where we are now and where we're going. So I think it's a great podcast. They're like 20, 25 minutes, so really short snippets. You can listen on your way to or from work or to or from the airport or, you know, on the airplane. I love that. I'm getting right into podcasts now, and I find it's a great way to, you know, I just mowed the lawn during my lunch break and listen to a podcast, you know, to see what I can learn, modernize my thinking a little bit.
It's awesome. And now any of your, I guess, would you call them clients, partners, communities across Canada, would they have like a consumer brand that we might know of or that we should check out or like a really great service that we should be checking out?
So a lot of our members are doing extraordinary things, and we always love to advocate for our members and, you know, direct people to say, you know, check out this community. They're amazing. Really, our client base is our membership. And so we don't necessarily favor one over the other, if I can say that. But
no, of course, yeah. But they're all great. They're all great. There's not.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
And for you, as far as like maybe a project that when it comes and then when you see it launch, what's that whole process like? Typically, what's the time frame and what's your involvement when it comes to like even like the launch and kind of an announcement of their new project they got off the ground?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question because it's different for every community depending on the project that they're working on. So it could take a couple of months, and some take a couple of years, you know, depending on the scale of construction and where they are and how it goes. But it's very exciting. We take our lead from the community because this is a really community-led approach. And we'll often get invitations to the ribbon-cutting ceremonies or, you know, the opening of a particular building. And it's extremely emotional. To see something come from, you know, proof of concept and then to handing over the keys and seeing a first time homeowner get, you know, get their keys or a child walk into their bedroom for the very first time is really emotional. And again, you know, it reminds us of why we're doing this work and the impact that it's having. And so when you see those things in real time, it just, you know, all the challenges that you've maybe had to run into or roadblocks, none of that matters anymore because you've been able to achieve and be a part of this journey and to watch the communities, cherish this. It's so much more than an asset. It's a home. It's a new beginning. It's a sense of pride, a sense of culture. And that is really impactful. And that's what means, the most when people can get jobs and apply for and see opportunities that they just haven't had before. This is extraordinary.
It's amazing. Amazing. So future hopes, dreams, kind of what you see in this next year, what are the things that you're most excited about or kind of trends that you're seeing around?
Yeah, well, I always want to see us work towards closing the infrastructure gap. And I'm really optimistic because we've seen so many non-Indigenous companies, firms, organizations engage in reconciliation and reaching out to say, how do we go about this? What do we do? Where do we start? And the very idea that this discussion is taking place across Canada, one, is really impactful and very meaningful. And I often say, don't be afraid to say the wrong thing. Reach out and ask for guidance. It should be Indigenous led. So I really like seeing so many corporations start the reconciliation journey and engage with the communities to say, how should we do this? And knowing the impact that this is going to make down the line, because when our nations are successful, Canada is successful. And I think more people are starting to realize that doing business with Indigenous communities, whether it's First Nations, Métis, or Inuit, is actually a very smart business. And if you're not engaging there, you're kind of missing the boat and you're going to be behind the eight ball. So let's start this discussion. And I'm just excited to see FNFA growth. We're getting so much interest and so many projects come our way that it tells me we're doing the right thing, that we're moving in the right direction, that we have the buy-in and the trust from our First Nation community members, from our investors and our shareholders, our stakeholders. So I think that's exciting to see. And we have some great projects that we're working on. Monetization is one of them. We're working on a new insurance model for our communities that's exclusive, and surety and bonding. And these are big things that can make a big impact in our communities. So we want to do things properly. We want to work with the right partners. And that's important to us. Values, values-based, making sure that people are aligned to set communities up for success long-term, not just in and out, not short-term. This is a lifelong investment and commitment.
It's amazing. So if you were to be able to speak directly, there's a lot of businesses that are not Indigenous listening to the show right now. What's your biggest advice for them to approach their local community, their local nation?
Yeah, I think just, stop wondering how to do it. Just start by reaching out to somebody. And it can be over a tea, it can be over a coffee, or it can be, through Zoom or something like this, just to say, this is what we're thinking. And it's very important for us to get your feedback. We want to do this correctly. It's not a top-down approach. It should always be community-led and community-driven, and consulting with elders and people that are close to you. Different communities have different traditions and protocols. So if you have a community that's close to you, get to know that community and, be a part of their events. See if you can be invited to something and learn and listen, talk with the elders, and just, it's a lot of listening, a lot of learning. But, if you have an open heart and an open mind, it's extraordinary what the impact will be to your heart, to your education, to your journey, and we welcome that.
It's amazing. Anything else that you want to share with listeners?
I just want to say, if you're interested in learning more, check out our podcast. Yes. And feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to have a discussion or a connection. And, if I don't know, if I can't answer it, I probably know somebody who I can direct you to. And I'm happy to do that. I'm a bridge builder. I, you know, live with my foot in two worlds. So I really like connecting people and seeing if collaboration can help always both sides. So I'm always willing to do that, always willing to answer questions and be a part of the journey. But welcome, you know, provide a safe space and just say thank you for listening.
It's amazing. Jody Anderson, First Nations Finance Authority. I want to say Marcy, thank you, in Mischief, just for my own language.
Really appreciate you coming on. Miigwech, Darian. Yeah. Thank you again for having me. I look forward to chatting again, I hope.
Yeah. And we'll make sure we put a link to the podcast in the show notes so you can go from this show to another show, back to back, Jody Anderson, where she is the one who is dealing the questions this time around. So,
thanks, Darian.
All right. Thank you for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada. We'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.